The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own. This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
Welcome back to week three edition of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. We've got our resident New York Giant expert, Rodney Henderson, in studio with us. Rodney, Kevin, what's up, guys?
Hey, you know, and I'm quite proud of Rodney because he took it like a man. You know, a lot of our analysts wouldn't have shown up, but Rodney came in here like he stood up big. He came in big in the building, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Presence definitely felt. And if you're trying to figure out what we're talking about, it's the Redskins' first win of the season. Went up to New York, New Jersey, I guess. Beat the Giants 29-27. And really, what was kind of a weird game, but kind of a thriller, came down to the end. That last Eli Manning interception. The Redskins improved to 1-2 on the season. And normally, what we do, we go, you know, quarter by quarter, half by half. We just talk about our thoughts of the game. But just overall, gentlemen, your overall thoughts of the game.
You know, it's kind of funny to me. The game, by all standards, was exciting because the lead changed, I'd be like 5 or 6 times, and the teams racked up almost 1,000 yards in total offense. Mm-hmm. But it was really sloppy to me. There was so many penalties and so many bad issues of bad coaching and bad clock management. The only thing that it was a redeeming factor for me was the win. Now, Rodney, I don't know if you can say that. Well, I know you can't say the same about the win. But what do you think about the Giants, the way the whole approach to the game from the Giants' perspective?
The whole approach to the whole ball game was to attack the Redskins' defense, because everybody for the past two games was putting up a lot of offensive penalties. I mean, a lot of offensive yards and running the ball, doing whatever they wanted to do at will on the Redskins' defense. So the game plan was to spread them out and go over the middle. And, you know, and go deep to Odell Beckham. And then the whole thing is, but I think all the hype between Odell Beckham and Josh Newman, the referees had meetings before the game, had a meeting 2 weeks before they even played the Giants, that we're not going to have no nonsense of disputing the business or anything like that. So I just think it was just overblown with penalties and then one another contacting with one another. So it's like this, it was a lot of emotions during the game, because they really wanted to win the game, because they were 0-2 and they were fighting for their season. Yeah. So the whole point, what I'm trying to make is this: we needed to punch them in the mouth, but it didn't happen. But I'm sit here and take it as a Giants fan.
They were swinging at the mouth.
They were swinging.
Yeah. Oh, they were swinging. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. We're speaking with a special studio guest, Rodney Henderson, our New York Giants football expert here. And by the way, if you want to get on the Federal Football Report phone, or even sometime in studio guest, now I got to be honest, to get in as a studio guest, you're going to go through, you know, like presidential security type vetting.
Yeah, screen you, background, blood test.
We'll let you in if you can make it in. So you can follow us on Twitter at FF Rep. Mm-hmm. Also, Federal Football Report at federalnewsradio.com.
That's just the FFR at federalnewsradio.com.
That's the email address.
Email us, and if you got a point, we might get you on the show by phone at first. Let's talk about it. Yeah.
Right, absolutely. And so it's funny, because it was a sloppy game. I mean, again, despite it being a good game at the end, close game at the end, coming down really to a couple of three pivotal points. I think both Eli Manning interceptions, I felt, were pivotal points in the games, because the first interception, the Giants were in the red zone. I mean, that's at least 3 points there. And then there was that blocked punt where the guy, number 33, Andrew Adams. Had that roughness penalty.
The brain lock, the stupidity.
Totally away from the play, like not even aware of what's happening.
Had nothing to do with
anything. And here's the thing, even if it wasn't a blocked punt, that still would have been unnecessary roughness, because he leads with his helmet and hits the Redskins player in his helmet with it. It's like, what are you, totally unaware that you're in a close game and you don't want to do things like that.
That should have been a 20 yards for illegal stupidity, actually.
Right.
There's no call for
it. We just talked about that. There's no reason why this guy should even be allowed to finish the game. Like, the Giants are just like, you know what? You're done.
Yeah,
you
give me a jersey now.
Yeah, fold up your stuff really nice.
Give me your pants. Walk off the field naked. Get out of here.
Hang your helmet up and get out of here. That's what should happen. And then, obviously, that last Eli Manning interception, when it seems like, obviously, I mean, both teams were able to move the ball against each other without too much effort. And even in the beginning, I mean, of the game, it was, you know, all Giants at first, but the Giants at one point had a 21-9 lead, but the difference was the fact that the Giants scored three touchdowns and the Redskins scored three field goals. They couldn't get the ball in the end zone. And so that's, but when you talk about the sloppiness of the game, they ended with 19 total penalties in the game for 198 yards. So 19 total. 19. So we talked about this. It was like, it was 4:20 on Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon. And we're like, the game is still on. Like, why is this game taken? So it was so many penalties in this game, but 19 penalties, 198 yards.
Now, we haven't been following the Giants this closely. I do know they were 2-0, but have they been playing with this lack of discipline for the first two games?
Last week against the Saints, we turned the ball over three times, but we regained it to fumble. Shane Vereen, who fumbled crucial fumble today, he did the same thing last week. So it's been an undisciplined hurting ourselves because we've been missing a lot of points that we've been left on the field. So we got to nip it in the bud and take our time and just focus on what we need to do.
That's what you got to do if you're a Giants fan.
If you're a Brittany and Gold fan, you're going to celebrate.
We're actually fine with the way you guys play today. That's no problem.
Okay, I feel for you, brother, hope
you can find a way to get to work it out. 29-27, the Redskins go up to Jersey, beat the New York Giants for the first win of the season. And, you know, it's funny. We talked about it the first 2 weeks, Kevin, and Rodney, you saw this as well. Kirk Cousins not sharp again this game.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like I said last week, man, it's hard to keep your balance when you got $19 million in your back pocket, right?
Pressure's on.
Yeah, but he's obviously pressing, and I kept repeating this while we were watching the game. You know, this last year, Kirk was a little bit of a surprise because the year prior to that, he was third string. This year, defensive have a year of Kirk Cousins film to watch. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that the key tactic against Kurt is to take away Jordan Reed.
Yes, exactly.
And once they take away Jordan Reed, he's forced to improvise. But he has so many weapons, that shouldn't be that much of a problem. And we even saw him getting a little support from the running game today, which has been non-existent either for a lack of ability or for the lack of desire from the coaches to call the run.
To even run the ball.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins today, by the way, 21-35, 269 yards, two touchdowns. And DeSean Jackson had a pretty big game, 5 receptions, 96 yards, 1 touchdown. He was starting to get a little frustrated. And what was new, Jamison Crowder was starting to get a little frustrated. And I've never seen him get frustrated about what's going on there.
And he was a big producer today. He was as a key 53-yard punt return, the screen pass that went for 50-plus yards.
Yeah, which Kirk gets all the credit for that.
Yeah,
put on
Kirk gets credit for a 54-yard pass. Kirk throws it a yard and a half. Jamison Crowder runs through the rest of the defense, right? You know, but it goes to the Golden Boy stat books towards his, he gets that pay raise next year from that measly $19 million that he's making. Mm-hmm. But interesting tactic, when they were running the ball successfully, they took, after DeSean Jackson caught a crucial first down, or maybe a 9-yard pass to make it 2nd and 1, they take him out of the game. And he was frustrated. He's saying, I'm producing. What we're doing is working. Mm-hmm. Why are you taking me out of the game? And then the Burgundy go had to settle for a field goal. And fortunately, Eli had a lapse at the end of the game and threw a ball to Sue Cravens. That we're going to talk about Cravens being in the game. And if he's that good, why is he in the game all the time? But it was a game that both teams had an opportunity to win and lose. And in this case, Burgundy go won, and the Giants gave us a present, and we'll take it.
Yeah, and a really good back and forth, by the way, with both teams. I mean, you know, giving up the lead and taking the lead, giving up the lead, taking the lead. And, you know, here's a question that I want to throw to Rodney. You know, being a Giants fan, it's easy on the outside looking in to kind of evaluate the quarterback position, but Eli has struggled or has not been, you know, at the top of his game, it seems like, maybe the last two or three seasons. Here we throw out quarterbacks like you throw out recyclable soda cans. What is the feel among you Giant fans, you, your buddies, and other Giant fans that you know regarding Eli the last couple of years?
Well, Well, the last couple of years, he has statistically the best 2 years of his career.
Oh, wow.
But the only thing is sometimes he has a lapse, and he either underthrows the pass or he just throw it, and like wide receiver might not be on the same page, because on our offense, it's like the wide receiver and the quarterback has to be on the same page. Mm-hmm. Just like every other Redskins and Kirk Cousins have to be on the same page too also. But the thing is with Eli, if he just sometimes he just you don't know what's the deal, what are you doing? But he's still, like we said before, when we're talking, in the last 2 minutes, he's one of the best. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks clutch time.
I think it was 35 fourth quarter game winning drive. Yeah,
35.
In his career.
And that's a lot.
Know, that's funny.
A lot.
Except for the part where he said Eli Manning, it sounded like he was talking about the quarterback we have here. Sometimes you don't know what he's doing.
Right? Right.
Like, perfect example, end of the half, right? They got a timeout left. They throw the ball deep across the middle. They ended up on a giant six with approximately maybe 16 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
They have to run downfield to spike the ball.
Right.
And we're all sitting there and we're thinking, why don't they just call a timeout? That way they can walk downfield, catch their breath, and have at least two plays,
and
maybe
I'm
three.
I'm literally wondering to myself, where's Jay Gruden? Where is he? Like, why won't he do something? You know, whether the quarterback calls or something. But I'm like, why isn't the coach called? Where's
somebody,
what is he?
We were calling it.
Is he ordering food for halftime? Like, what is he doing? We were like, call a timeout.
It's so funny. Like, after the first game, when everyone was complaining, why isn't Judge Norman on Antonio Brown? Why isn't our best corner on their best receiver? Like, the whole free world was thinking this, and part of the communist world was thinking it, right? Why, you know? And then the coaches think about it in the next game. Yeah, maybe we should do that. Maybe we should put our best corner on the best receiver. Sometimes I guess these guys are so wrapped up in it, they're just not thinking straight, right? They're too close to it to see what's happening, because we're talking about this logic.
Just call a timeout. You have one timeout.
Back
to the scenario, I mean, you have a timeout. If you call that, you can take two shots at the end zone. If it's incomplete, the clock stops and you kick a field goal. By the way, it was 21-16 at the time. You have an opportunity to go in to halftime down 21-19 if you kick that field goal, and then you get the ball back.
Yeah. See,
no timeout called, and it reminded you of an instance last year with Kirk Cousins mismanaging the clock.
Yeah,
right?
I know any Burgundy and Gold fan remember they were playing the Eagles on Monday Night Football, and they had
with the NFC East title on the line.
Right,
by the way,
they had just called their final timeout, and so they walked to the line of scrimmage and they called a play. And if it wasn't there, Kirk was supposed to throw the ball away.
He needed some help from up above.
We all were praying that he would do it. Oh, you meant the booth. Okay. No, but instead of like seeing the play wasn't there, throwing it away, Kirk takes a knee.
Right.
Which was crazy. It would have been crazy if he had spiked the ball, but at least the clock would have stopped.
But it was weird to watch, because you watch it and you're like, all right, I guess the half is over. You know, you just kind of watch it like, ooh.
We're all dumbfounded. But he took a knee and just ran
the clock. 6 seconds left on the clock at the Eagles' 6-yard line. And so, you take a quick shot at the end zone. And if that doesn't work, out of bounds, you got 2 seconds left, kick a field goal.
Yeah. Well, he sort of
or
like,
option three.
Take a knee. He went with the option, you know, the third option. Maybe it was, you know, we talked about Kurt having a routine where he schedules his day in 15-minute increments. And I guess the page where he was like, you know, on the goal on the 6-yard line.
It came after Eagles timeout. The Eagles called the timeout.
They gave him a freebie. That's right. So that part of his day wasn't scripted. So he just, you know, they got to work on that. They really do. I mean, that's, you know, some of the parts of the game that come naturally to some. You know, football players have been playing football from the time they were little.
Yeah.
They know the rules.
You know the situation.
We've
seen some crazy situational stuff happen so far early in the season. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. We've got our Giants expert, Rodney Henderson, in studio with us. Came in despite the loss. Redskins losing, winning 29-27 to go 1-2 on the season. And, you know, Kevin, one of the big things that we had talked about on the first two shows this year is just the effort, the excitement.
Yes.
Did you see that today?
I saw it from certain individuals. And it's kind of interesting because those individuals were not starters in the game. I mean, mm-hmm. guys like Sue Cravens and Quentin Dunbar,
mm-hmm.
Guys who aren't starters.
Yeah, doesn't he play for the Cowboys? Oh, no, that's Lance Dunbar.
Yes, it's a cousin, man. But it came up big in crucial situations. They were in the game because of injuries, key injuries to Breshad Breeland and D'Angelo Hall. And I like that. I like the effort from the from the offensive line of
LaVal
the
and Lickensteiger. Yeah, Lickensteiger. Well,
yeah. And you know, and even from Matt Jones, who I've really, you know, I've heard some comparisons to Beast Mode. I just don't see it yet.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm not sure who's making those comparisons.
He handled the ball well, protected the ball, gained some, you know, feet kept moving, gained some yards at crucial times. There was that third and one. You know, I've said this so many times, I'm sick of hearing myself say it. You got guys you're paying hundreds of thousands a year, mm-hmm. if they're like the low-paid guys. The big guys are getting paid millions of dollars a year to play offensive line. They got to be able to give me a yard when I need a yard.
Mm-hmm.
I need a yard. Give me a yard. They got stopped in the Berkeley goal, had to settle for a field goal, which gave the Giants the ball with three timeouts left and plenty of time to do something. But Eli came through.
Right, which, by the way, I thought would be bad news for the Redskins, because that's exactly what the Giants were able to do to in the first half. Well, Eli still threw that, but they were able to get the ball with plenty of time left after the Redskins had scored, and I think it was like maybe 3 minutes left on the clock or something like that, and the Giants were able to come down and score and do what they had to do. Now, coming from a Giants fans' perspective, by the way, if you want to come on the show, you're, you know, Cardinals fan, Cowboys fan, Eagles fan, Skins play the Browns. You can find any kind of Browns fan. You want to come on the show and talk with us next week, Browns fans, let's do it. The Twitter handle is at FFRep. Also, the email is FFR@federalnewsradio.com. Let us know if you want to come on the phone or come in studio. If you got to come in studio, again,
I got to screen you.
I mean, it's way tougher than TSA at the airport.
Really.
You know, we may make you take your shoes off and put you through a metal detector as well. But coming from a Giants fan's standpoint, I mean, you saw the game against Dallas, close win. You saw the game against the Saints, another close win. Here, a close loss. Comparing that to what you went through last season, where you were on the losing end of a lot of those close games, does this and even the first 2 weeks of the season, despite being wins, have like that, oh, here we go again feel to it?
Well, not here we go again, but because I'm glad with the stars. 2-1, we 1-1 in the division, so we still looking up. Mm-hmm. We still, tied for first now. Well, no, we tied.
Depends on the Eagles.
Exactly. But I'm very optimistic about our chances of going well, but we just had to get the penalties and all the turnovers and get, you know, stop going pass happy, but we'll talk about that later during the game.
Especially after you were averaging 6 yards of carry.
Because the game seemed like it flip-flopped, because we were running the ball 6 yards of carry, then at the end, the Redskins started running the ball at the end. But the defense is looking, you cannot run against the Giants, even though we gave up some crucial yards at the end. But our defense is stout. It's going to be one of our strongest unit this year. But our offense, together as a whole, our team will be a contender, not a pretender. But I think it was a good game that the Redskins came out. They came out fighting. And I really think Chris Baker, he stepped up, too. Because when he hit Eli, I thought Eli was going to call Peyton and say, I'm about to come and join
you. You making pancakes today? Take me off on Tuesday. I'm coming home today.
The sky's the limit. We just got to, you know, it's going to be a rough road, because I think we have Minnesota next week or on a road, I believe.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing, too, about the Giants' defense, they used the method of putting the team together that Burgundy and Golden tried to use for years, and it didn't work for us. They went out and bought a defense, right? They bought Denoris Jenkins. They bought, what's the linebacker from Miami that they bought?
Olivier Vernon.
Yeah, Olivier Vernon.
Who also got
ball players.
Well, it's not hers. He might as well play for New York, because he played for the Jets, so he just came over and switched colors.
Right. You know, so...
Well, that's an interesting point, because I mean the defense has played well again. I mean, you know, that close Cowboys win, and then the win, another close game against the Saints. I mean, the defense has been playing well, but that also just kind of goes to show that, look, the Skins have weapons, and I mean, if you can just you know, you get Kurt some time, you get some of these guys open. I mean, the Redskins have lots of weapons, and if they can get it together defensively, could be a scary team to play.
Yeah, well, one thing I did notice, and I'll agree with Rodney, it's not like they said, here we go again. It's like there was anger, there was emotion on the Giants sideline, but it was not emotion because they were mad because they were going to lose. Is they actually thought they were supposed to win.
Right.
And when you feel you're supposed to win, you got that desire. Anything is possible.
They was competing.
Now, I do have a special news bulletin. Assault charges have been filed against the net that hit Odell Beckham Jr. in the head.
We're going to talk about that when we come back on the other side of this commercial break, because that's a great. I want to talk about the passion, because we've been talking about passion on Redskins. We saw some passion on the sidelines, on the Giants sideline, and we're going to talk about that coming up. And, you know, after the game, the handshake that we averted World War III with Josh Norman and Odell Beckham Jr. But we'll talk about that coming up on the other side of this commercial break. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. The website, federalnewsradio.com. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your neighbors, tell people you don't like. Tell them about the show.
Outside, yeah.
Exactly. Week 3 of the NFL in the books for the Redskins, 29-27, the first win of the season over the New York Giants on the road to improve the 1-2 victory. We like the way that sounds, man. Yeah. And we've got our resident Giants fan, Rodney Henderson, in studio with us, hanging out with us for the Giants game. We're trying to find a Cleveland Browns fan, but it's hard to find one. We'll see if we can get one to hang out with us next week, but who knows whether we'll be able to. One of the funny things about this game was the hype all week long of the Josh Norman, Odell Beckham thing, and rightfully so. I mean, if you saw the game last year with Norman as a Panther and Odell Beckham, it was really getting kind of crazy, but things seemed weird on the outset. It was a nice fall day in D.C.
Yeah.
The weather was perfect. People were jogging all up and down, you know, in Georgetown. As I was driving in, there was people on bikes. And everything seemed nice. Kevin, you left the studio to go to the Giants to pick up some groceries.
What happened? Grocery store. A lady ran into my car with her car. We said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. It's quite all right." Everybody was happy. The birds were singing in the store. Right? Somebody was walking down the aisle singing "Zippity Doo Dah." And then you come back in and getting ready for World War III. Right? What's happening, Norman? Versus Beckham, what's going on here?
And a good thing is that everybody played nice and everybody played fair with each other. So here's what I want to do. But I did see three battles within the battle.
Right.
I want to examine all three of these. Now, by the way, at the end of the game, maybe this will be my first take on it. Good job by Odell Beckham and Josh Norman after the game. Kind of dapping it up. Showing respect to one another, and walking off the field. I thought that was kind of cool. Because, by the way, they're going to have to see each other again later on this year.
And if they're smart, they can capitalize on this thing.
Exactly. We should see some commercials, some endorsements, anything. Why not?
They've been washing each other's head with the head and shoulders or something, right? Maybe not that far.
Why should we sit here and hate each other? But let's go help him make this money.
They can make some money.
So anyway, I'm going to go through these 3 points of the battles within the battle. You guys let me know what you think. Number one, Josh Norman versus Odell Beckham.
I think it was a good mashup. I actually think that Beckham got the better of Norman. Beckham didn't score, but he caught a couple of passes and key situations. Third and long, he came up big. He was wide open.
His numbers, by the way, 7 catches for 121 yards.
Which is not a bad day. If you had one of the best corners in the league on you, you still get a buck and some change. Mm-hmm. That's not a bad day. Remember, there's one play where Beckham was wide open.
He could have
thrown, he could have thrown the fit right then and there, right? But I mentioned to you guys earlier, I will give Beckham credit. There was a tantrum on the sideline, but he doesn't do it on the field to upstage the quarterback. He won't do that. He'll go crazy on the sideline, but I give the edge to Beckham on that one.
Well, I think it's clear cut. The eye in the sky doesn't lie. Josh Norman, he has to bring his A game when he's come to play with Odell Beckham. Clearly, Odell Beckham is too fast for him, because once he gets even with him, he's leaving. And his feet is too good, and he couldn't do too much to cover him. But I give the advantage to Odell Beckham, and, I I appreciate his passion on the sidelines and his composure during the game. He did a good job. So I give him kudos to that and give kudos to Josh Norman because he's one of the best corners too. Also, it was a good matchup. Good to see, but I definitely would tip my hat to ODG.
Odell Beckham. I'm with you too. I think I'd tip my hat to Odell Beckham Jr. The thing is that when you're Josh Norman or any, you know, good cornerback, great cornerback in the league, man, it is hard to cover one of the best receivers, to have to cover this guy every single play, he's going to get his. He's one of the best. You know, he's a world class athlete as well. And so you're not going to be able to shut these guys down every single play. And he's got a pretty good quarterback throwing him the ball. So kudos to Josh Norman. And when you play that aggressive, there was a couple plays where Odell had him on a couple of double moves and stuff like that. But that's going to happen when you play as aggressive as he plays. And but again, I do give the upper hand to Odell Beckham. Next matchup would be Eli Manning versus Odell Beckham Jr. because there was a time, like, again, he didn't do anything on the field, but he was clearly upset halfway through the fourth quarter with Eli's performance.
Yeah, well, you know, he missed him on two touchdown passes. The one over the middle early that
slant.
Yeah, on that slant. Exactly. The one that Josh almost picked off. If he had thrown the ball 2 seconds earlier when he made his move, that was touchdown. It would have been a great play. But that comes, I think, from the starting offense and defense on both sides being wrapped in bubble wrap in the preseason. This is only, actually, remember at one time the teams would play six preseason games ready to get into. And even when they went to four games, the last preseason game, your starters would play like a half, maybe three quarters.
And they barely play the first one.
They barely play, and then some didn't play at all in the middle. So it's going to come, and they're going to be with Shepard, the rookie there, with Victor Cruz not being the old Victor Cruz, but still quite effective. I think that he had a right, but he can't do that. This guy, the professionalism has to come in. And I did see that when Eli came up to him and talked, he did calm down. He didn't do all that. He waited till Eli left and then started throwing his tantrum again. So I'm going to call that one a draw. I mean, it was deserved. Yeah, he needed to yell at Eli, but maybe not so much yet.
Well, I think Odell won because when he threw the tantrum on the sidelines, Eli started throwing the ball. He threw the ball like seven straight times. So Odell won. It's like, you better give me this ball. We trying to win.
Right. So no, absolutely.
I think Odell won, but they still have a good connection. And Odell has some of the best hands I've seen in a while. So I will give kudos to Odell. But, you know, it's interesting because he could have had a lot of good stats on it. And just to say that he's the best wide receiver when Josh Norman was on him.
Yeah,
he tortured Josh Norman, but when Josh Norman was on Antonio Brown, Antonio Brown didn't do too well. So that'll say he's the best wide receiver.
That's a good point, you know, because if he had been throwing the Beckham at the end, they might have won.
Exactly true, which proves Odell Beckham's point.
Yeah, really.
Just throw the ball
in the middle. I guess he was throwing to the running back in the middle of the end of the game.
Weird wheel route.
We also got to get kudos to Sterling Shepard. He's a rookie, and he's looked like a polished veteran out there.
He doesn't seem to care. I mean, you know, it's not the spotlight's not too big.
And so I give the edge to Odell Beckham because, again, you can complain and scream and throw tantrums, and then I love what the Giants did because we were talking about it. I said they're going to come back and throw the ball to him, and they threw the ball right at him, and he made plays. I mean, it's easy to complain about give me the ball, and then when they do get you the ball, you get these drops, or, you know, you don't get any separation from the cornerback, and that wasn't the case with him, even though, again, it was in a losing effort. But he cried for the ball, wanted the ball. They gave him the ball, and he did something with it. But kudos also to Eli by being like the senior statesman, you know, by going up guy, not ignoring him or, you know, fueling his anger, but going up to him, grabbing him by the shoulder pads and talking some sense into him, like, hey, man, look, we get it. Just relax, man. We want to get you this ball, you know? And so that was a big, big, big move there by Eli.
Well, I know Odell is smart again because if he did throw a fit, Eli won't throw him the ball. Two other weapons to give him the ball. So he's calm. He's smart. So he was like, okay, I'm going to listen to you.
Now, one battle within the battle, one last one. Odell Beckham Jr. versus the field goal kicking net. See that? We get so mad. He's yelling, he's screaming. He throws his helmet at the net, and the net, in a reaction, falls over towards him and hits him over the head. I mean, and not just like bumps him in the head. It was a solid, hit with the iron pole on the net that the kickers practice with.
Yeah, well, I got to fault the net for that one because the net looked like it was too ready to do that, right? It wasn't like it was a stumble bumble thing.
It was a heavy hit.
It was a clean, solid blow. You know what? The net looked like it might have hit him if he didn't hit it first, right?
It was on its way to hit him.
ODB threw the first blow. You got to, you know, so the net, I guess, can claim self-defense. But I don't think ODB wants any more of the net.
I don't think so at all.
The net won on that one, hands down.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But you know what? But this brings up, I mean, it's funny, but can you imagine? I mean, as hard as that hit was, the first thing I thought about was, you know, that thing hit him so hard. Like, what if he had got a concussion from that? Like, what if, like, he had to go through the concussion protocol because the net hit him? Wasn't it Gus Frerotte? Remember when Gus Frerotte scored that touchdown for the Redskins?
He runs,
and then he hits his head in the against the wall on the stadium.
He hit the wall.
And the next thing you know, I mean, it's like, and so I'm thinking about this, like, Odell Beckham is throwing his tantrum. He swings his helmet. It hits the goalpost. The goal thing comes and hits him in the head. He got to go through concussion protocol.
And the net gets
a 15-yard penalty for unnecessary roughness hit to the head.
When he probably went off because he was mad because the net got a
mess. That's embarrassing. How many times do you get upset and you're trying and you're yelling and screaming, trying to prove your point, and then you like trip over your shoe or something like that? You know what I mean? That's embarrassing for it to happen to you like that. I'm sure he was embarrassed.
If I'm Josh Norman, I'll take that video and put it on my cell phone. Whenever he come out, he lines up against him, I'll show him the picture. You don't want me to call his net on you.
I mean, it was the funniest, most ridiculous kind of goofy point. And in the day of goofy things happening, by the way, did anyone see the fact that the Bills beat the Cardinals 33-18?
It's incredible, man.
Minnesota without Teddy Bridgewater, without Adrian Peterson, 22-10 over Carolina. Now all of a sudden, Carolina sees itself 1-2.
Exactly.
You know, and will they be that team that was in the Super Bowl the year before but fails to make the playoffs?
And look,
you know?
And Buffalo has scored almost 100 points in three games, right? You know, what is going on up there, right? You know, it's like
new offensive coordinator.
Is that what it is? Something. And apparently, when they came up there, he immediately said, "Tyrod Taylor's my guy." And he's just becoming good. I mean, you know, I liked his mobility and all that. I think that he was a good backup for Flacco when he was with the Ravens, right? He didn't have to play a lot. He could sit and learn. And when he did get into the game, he can use his knowledge and his skills and make a solid NFL career. But now he's turning into a baller, right?
Absolutely. It's a Federal Report on Federal News Radio. The Redskins beat the Giants 29-27 on the road in New York, in New Jersey, obviously, to go to 1-2 on the season. Coming up next, we're going to update everyone on the Redskins' opponent next week. It's supposed to be a big week. It was supposed to be Cleveland coming to town with RG3, but guess what? He's hurt. Who would have thought that was going to happen? So we'll preview the Redskins and Browns for next week. We won't even preview the rest of the NFC East because at the time that we're recording this, the Cowboys have yet to play and the Eagles have yet to finish as well. But we'll talk about the Redskins' opponent next week, Cleveland Browns, and also some goals that we had hoped to start for this year that will clearly go unmet because it's almost October. We'll talk about that later coming up on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website is federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. In studio, we have our resident New York Giants expert, Rodney Henderson, taking it like a man, coming in studio despite the loss. Again, the Redskins win 29-27 over the New York Giants to improve to 1-2 on the season, and things are maybe looking a little better. We're going to tie some loose ends, by the way. A couple things we wanted to talk about that happened later on in the game, but oddly enough, we have a call on the line. We've got Andre in Gaithersburg. Now, here's the thing with when fans call into the show. No fan base overreacts to a win or a loss like the Washington Redskins fan base. So we know that. So the first question I have for the fan, Andre, in Gaithersburg. Andre, are you prepared for the Super Bowl now?
Oh, most definitely. look, all we have to do is take one game at a time try to go 14-2 the rest of the way.
So, Andre, as a fan, man, what did you think about the game? What did you think about this close win against the Giants?
I mean, honestly, that game could have went either way. I'm just excited to see Kirk do his thing. I mean, that's the Kirk that we saw last year. Jackson got off, and then for the guys to step in, you know, when Hall and Breland got hurt, for the guys to step in and still, you know, kind of handle the Giants receiver the way they did, I was really excited to see that. So I think, you know, we can actually do something, you know, next week, headed towards next week.
Okay, so what do you think was the key moment in the game as far as Burgundy goes?
Oh, when Trestway threw that pass to Dunbar.
He jumped right on that, didn't he?
That right there was a game changer for us.
Yeah, what did that show you as far as the coaching and the desire of this coaching staff? What did that tell you right there?
That told us that we needed this game badly. We needed to win this badly.
You know, Andre, one of the things that we had talked about the first 2 weeks of the season, especially in the Skins versus Steelers game, Kevin and I love the fan perspective. You know, we're watching this game, and all the fans are talking about, why in the world is Josh Norman not covering Antonio Brown? Why is he not shadowing him? And then the week against Dallas, why is Josh Norman not shadowing Dez Bryant the whole game? He shadowed Odell Beckham Jr. the whole game. And so we love fans' perspective because we're like, some of this stuff is not, you know, common sense. It's not rocket science. If we can look at it and tell, why can't these coaches? From today's game, what are some of the keys that you think the coaches need to take a look at going into this next game against the Browns?
Honestly, all they had to do was, I hate for the coaches, you know, the coaches are, you know, the coaches get paid to be coaches, players get paid to be players, but obviously Norman, I heard them sit down with the coaches. Norman said, look, put me on this guy. You know, this is why you brought me here to D.C. I'm here to take care of business. I'm here to check the number one guy, so let's just do it. So I guess Joe Barry finally decided to put Norman on Odell Beckham, which is their number one receiver, and, you know, he let him do his thing. Yes, Odell still had 7 catches, 121 yards, but Norman still got in Odell's head and, you know, took care of it from there.
We held him under 200. Happy about that.
Yes, we held him under 200 yards. We did our thing. That's funny. Andre, thanks a lot for calling the show, man. Hopefully we get to talk to you next week with the Redskins win over the Browns, man. Take it easy.
All right, thanks, guys.
That's Andre in Gaithersburg, Maryland, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest, our first phone guest here on the Federal Football Report. And he sounded sane. He said he's preparing for the Super Bowl. He's going to go 14-2. Typical Redskin fan reaction to a win, right?
Right. Okay, well, let me go to the Giants fan now. Where do the Giants go from here? Do they make overall changes? Do they say, you know, just a couple of fine-tuning adjustments here and there? Where do the Giants go?
Well, we're going to go to the hyper chamber for all the injuries we have, for all the hamstrings and the groin injuries, stuff like that. So we're going to look, but, you know, we're still 2-1. Tough road games coming ahead, but we're going to regroup. Our defense is solid. Our offense, we just have to nip this in the bud. I don't know what's going to be the future effects or if he's going to get suspended for a game. Richburg from getting ejected. Or I don't know what type of roughing up penalty or personal foul it was, because he was just playing football, running and blocking Josh Newman in the ground.
Let's talk about that, because there were several key moments. I mean, you talked to Andre about a key moments. That's one of the notes that I had written down. We were talking before we started this segment that was one thing we wanted to talk about, some key moments, and that one thing with Richburg. Talk to us a little bit about that, riding with that.
That was the key moment of the game, because Wes Richburg, he's one of the best centers in the league, and he's coming up. And what he does is he calls the right calls as far as blocking screen scheme wise, and so he want, you know, put the people in a position so what they know would block. So when he went out, we totally didn't run no more.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It was like I think we ran the ball like one time, and then the rest was like 21 passes for the rest of the game.
Yeah. It was a key play where it happened, because it was like maybe 3rd and 17.
Right.
You're ready
right
to score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Beckham went, there was one of those several yards that Beckham got.
I believe it was that amazing play where Beckham had like a comeback route. He catches the ball. He does some ridiculous spin move close to the sideline on Josh Norman. Then he runs down. Then he does some kind of, you know, one of those moves where Chris Berman goes, whoop! He does one of these whoop moves. And he cuts back, and there's two Redskins that just slide out of bounds, and then he runs down the sideline, and it gets called back.
Unfortunately, because
it was a bad call, by the way.
It could have been a block in the back, but unsportsmanlike, I don't think so. Unfortunately for the Giants, the guys really weren't in the play. They were trailing the play. They were trying to catch up to Josh Norman, mm-hmm. And the guy's a pretty good athlete, because he caught up to Josh Norman to be able to block him from behind.
Right.
So,
to be that big.
But, you know, that was the first time the league just instituted this rule this season, with two personal fouls is an automatic ejection. And that stemmed in a large part from the Beckham Norman Duell last year.
You sound like the governor of Maine. Remember we talked about challenging someone to a duel?
Yeah.
You remember that news story? So weird. But it was the, I can't remember, it was one of the state representatives or something, that, and then they were going back and forth about something, and then he, you know, was, left him some curse laden tirade on his voice machine and said he wanted to challenge him to a duel. I'm like, challenge him to a duel?
That's like the good
what
old
are
days.
Talking about. So, anyway.
So Weston Richburg made history. He was the first player in the NFL to be automatically ejected after the new personal foul rule.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. See, you don't get that everywhere. That's just here on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Another key moment we talked about, and Andre in Gaithersburg talked about this, was that fake punt. I mean, I think we all were like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, which really kind of, you know, I think changed the momentum. It was one of those, again, gutsy moves, and that I got to give the coaching staff credit for, that I think it came at a time where they needed something to kind of, you know, get that passion going on with the team again.
Yeah, and did a couple of things. Number one, it energized the team, and it woke up Captain Kirk, because he said, man, if the punter can come in the game, not even getting any warm-ups, and throw a 40-yard strike and hit the guy in stride, I got to stop overthrowing people, because I get paid $19
million. Right. Did you see Deshaun Jackson's face? He looked over at Kirk like, come on, man. If he can do it, why can't you
hit me? Why can't you do it? Come on, Kirk. And Kirk did. So, yeah, that does something for a team with a team, and that was a good point that the caller made, that, you know, we need to win this game, so we got to pull out the stops, right? You don't go for it on 4th and 7 on the first game of the season. But this was an uncalled cold red. This was like one of the cold reds that was in in the movie with Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson. This is like cold red. Right. It was like, oh no, cold red. This was cold red. We don't win this one.
It's over.
We're in trouble. But me. You know, if I get cut, all y'all gone too.
Our job is on the line.
That's
here.
Right. That's right.
It's so funny, because before we move to that third point, as I'm, you know, just looking up various stats and things like that on my laptop, the NFL the website that I'm on right now, one of the game centers, they're showing some highlights from last year's matchup with Odell Beckham Jr. and Josh Norman. And, man, they were really going at it.
Yeah,
they were
really
going at it, real violent towards one another. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I didn't see any of that, at least not with Josh Norman or Odell Beckham Jr. this game. We started with the net, and Odell Beckham Jr., they were going at it.
The net might be suspended, too.
Exactly. 29-27, Redskins win. They're 1-2 on the season. Oh, another one you guys want to talk about was Chris Baker and his impact on the game.
Well, you know what? The CBS camera, the Fox cameras caught that rare moment, because you heard all these reports all week long about the grumblings about, it wasn't even a grumbling. Ricky Jean-Francois came out and said, other teams make adjustments, we don't, and teams keep doing the same thing against us. By we, he means the people calling the defense, right?
Uh-huh.
And you know what? And I say that all the time. They're too easy to scheme against, because you know what they're going to do. And at one point, the cameras caught Chris Baker just, not really a tirade, but it was speaking very forcefully toward Joe Barry, the offensive coordinator who left the team, whose claim to fame before he got here was he was on the team for the Detroit Lions that only won one game that season. So, I mean, I'm just saying that. I mean, it had nothing to do with this, but every time
that
I hear Joe Barry's name,
right?
Yeah,
that, okay.
In my book, right? He's right up there with the net, you know? So. But, you know, just because we're an analyst, right? And as an analyst, I'm a fan. And I have that want to and that passion, right? He's going to have to show me something.
He showed me.
You know what? And if it wasn't for, you know, the Sua Cravens made a great play at the end of the game, I put more of that on Eli than I do Sua, right, you know.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, again, I mean, you know, it's easy to Monday morning quarterback, but Eli had some other options on that play. And he seemed, and there was a little bit of pressure, but not much on that play. And it was one of those moments that our, you know, in-house New York Giants expert Rodney had mentioned. It's one of those Eli moments where you're like, Eli.
Exactly. But if he would have sat it out there just a little bit, it would have been a big game. So I can understand.
But good play.
But it was just a good play.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking for the guy with no dandruff. That's the guy I'm looking for in a situation like that. The game is on the line. You put the ball in the hand of your best player, right? Yeah, it might have been a good game. It wasn't. And Beckham was, who knows where he was. He might have been wide open. He might not have been. I would take a covered Beckham.
Right.
That's what I would do in that case.
Well, now here's the thing. So the Redskins beat the Giants 29-27. You look ahead to next week. They've got the Browns. And obviously, you know, you don't want to look look too far ahead. You don't want to say, oh, okay, well, here's a game on the calendar that we can mark with a W. But human instincts kick in, and you look at the Browns, and you're like, we should be able to beat the Browns mm-hmm. next week. And so with all the craziness with the beginning of this season, with the Browns coming up, if you get that W next week, you're looking at a team that's 2-2 after four games.
Yeah, and the Browns lost in overtime today to the Dolphins. And everyone, when the schedule came out, they marked this day on the schedule because they thought it would be the return of RG3. And I was very curious because, you know, there's no make no bones about it. I was a big RG3 supporter. Mm-hmm. I thought the way it transpired last year with the reports and the bickering and the backbiting and all that. It's a lot of similarities this year. You know, it's amazing how winning will quiet all that. But it wasn't to be. And, you know, this is a game they should win, but can you truly say that? Can you truly say this team is good enough to have a easy victory? I don't think so. I think there's a lot of work to
actually
be done.
Look on the calendar and be excited about a team that you've got coming up. Well, we talked about it before. I mean, who saw Minnesota having the season that they have, especially with Adrian Peterson going out last week and then Teddy Bridgewater not able to play at all this year, and the Bills beating the Cardinals 33-18. I mean, obviously anything can happen, but I think when you look at it, it's like, well, this is a game at home against the Browns, who lost their starting quarterback and their second string quarterback and weren't any good anyway, to be honest with you, whether Robert was in or whoever, that this is, you know, a winnable game. Now, you lose this game, it just negates all the momentum you picked up in this week as far as beating the Giants.
Now, does Josh Gordon come back this week, or this is game four, so he had a four-game suspension.
Right, this is game four, right.
Yeah, this is one more. Okay.
We need to call in a Cowboys fan to ask about game suspensions and stuff like that. They seem to be the experts about people being suspended for games.
You watch the Cowboys game on episode of Law and Order, right?
right.
You watch it, right?
But it's a good key to this one next week, too, also with Hugh Jackson, the ex-Redskin head coach, and coordinated. So they should be familiar with each other because they was under each other in Cincinnati. What's his name? Gruden.
He said, what's his name on that coach, right?
Well, same thing. Well, the Giants, by the way, for our resident Giants fan, we've got you're traveling to Minnesota next week, Monday Night Football, Giants against the Vikings. Should be an interesting matchup. Dallas plays Chicago Sunday Night Football. Now, again, at the time that we're recording this show, that game hasn't taken place yet. And then next week, the Cowboys play the 49ers on the road. And the Eagles, they're trying to pull that up. May need a little more time to find that one. Unless they have a bye on week four, which is possible.
Totally so possible.
Check all that out.
Yeah, the NFC East is becoming interesting now, right? You know, we got two rookie quarterbacks in the NFC East.
East is back.
Yeah, and Kirk, who knows what Kirk's doing. And you got the senior statesman is Eli Manning, who made rookie mistakes, right?
No. Right, exactly. And the senior statesman is Tony Romo, who has a back problem.
Oh, man,
there's nothing more seniorly and elderly than a back problem when you can't play the sport. And so, the Redskins, again, get to that first win of the season. Couldn't come quicker. Needed it. Dramatic fashion, 29-27. And look, man, October begins this coming week. And I tell you, it's like the year has gone by very, very quickly. I was planning on becoming a millionaire this year, so I may have to move it back to 2017.
Yeah, I heard that. Just delayed a little bit. Yeah, I went from a millionaire, man, from being a millionaire to, like, planning to have a beach house, man. I've been watching those shows on HGTV, like Caribbean Life, and when somebody goes to the islands, like, choose a couple of houses. My wife and I watch that every Sunday. We say, yeah, you know what? Why not?
Why not? Why can't it be us?
We can watch the game. You know, get the satellite, watch the game from I get an ISDN line, me and Clark
do the show from there.
I just
why
do it
not?
From a beach chair, right?
All kinds of technology. Well, we're appreciative of all our fans listening in. Rodney, we thank you for coming in again this
thank
week,
you
man.
Having me.
The Giants play the Skins at least one more time this week, so hopefully we can have you back in for the game. Again, if you want to contact us, the Twitter is FFRep. That's the Twitter handle, and also the email address is FFR@federalnewsradio.com. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.